Thank you so much, Richard. We appreciate that excellent report from the Ministry of the Gideons. And you know, we don't say a lot about money here. We don't. We teach what God's Word says about it. But if you would like to fellowship with the Gideons through the chapel, you can put something in the boxes in the back today, and that will be passed on to the Gideons. You also have the bulletin inserts, which gives you more information if you would like to be a part of this ministry of sharing the Word of God around the world. And that's exciting to hear those stories, real-life stories of people who have been impacted by the Scripture. You know, it's not just the responsibility of the Gideons to spread the Word of the Lord. It's the responsibility of every believer. And as Christians, we are responsible, we know, to be our brother's keepers. And we know that as we care for other human beings and we look around and we see so many people hurting, so many people in deep need, and we often can be overwhelmed by the needs. But as we stand back and try to look at it from God's perspective, we're reminded that the ultimate need of every human being is a spiritual need. And one of the most powerful tools at our disposal in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, an essential tool, is the Word of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 19 this morning. As you turn to Psalm 19, I want to read a portion of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, a familiar passage to you, I'm sure. And there we read that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that the Word of God is able to pierce, that the Word of God is able to discern even down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm 19, I'm going to read the whole psalm. We're going to be looking at the middle section of this psalm. It's a psalm that David was led by the Holy Spirit of God to write. It begins speaking of God's communication through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And then he begins to talk of the verbal communication that the Creator has with His human creations. Verse 7 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And then in the rest of the psalm, the psalmist David responds to the communication of God. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. As we go into the world, we are privileged to carry with us a powerful tool a tool that's described as the Lord's instruction, the Lord's witness, the Lord's precept, the Lord's command, the Lord's reverence, and the Lord's decree here in Psalm 19. We carry with us a tool, an instrument, a weapon that is described here as perfect and complete, unchanging, straight, pure, clean, trustworthy, eternal, just, valuable, attractive, and rewarding. And we can spread the word of the Lord, and we should spread the word of the Lord with confidence that it is powerful. The word of God is alive and it is powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's powerful enough. Whatever situation you come upon in your life, the word of the Lord is powerful enough. Whatever circumstance, those who touch your life and those whose lives you touch, no matter what's going on in their lives, no matter how deep their problems are, the word of the Lord is powerful enough. It is sufficient. And it will accomplish, as our brother reminded us from Isaiah, it will accomplish what God intends for it to accomplish. I want us to focus this morning in the time that we have on verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And what I want us to look at particularly are the four things that David was led to point out to us that the word of the Lord is powerful enough to do. It's powerful enough, we find in the beginning of verse 7, to take hold of a person who is living in the wrong direction. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There are people who are living in the wrong direction. Each of us has a will. Each of us has the ability to make choices. And each of us do choose. And everybody in your life, everybody in the world, is making choices. Choices which lead to life being lived in a particular direction. Now, sometimes that is one major choice that, yes, I am going this way with my life. Oftentimes, it is made up of many smaller choices which result in a person going in a particular direction in their lives. And many people that you come in contact with every day, and many people that you'll never see personally, are on a path that leads to destruction. Some of them are even attempting to avoid destruction, but they're still on a path that leads to destruction. Many of us have watched the news and seen clips of the tornadoes that have hit the southeast in the month of April. Those that have come through Alabama and Mississippi and other states, even in this past week, and I'm sure of the many people that have died in those storms, that some of those people were trying to evade the path of a tornado, and they may have thought that they were going to the right place. They might have thought that they were going in the right direction. But it turned out that they were wrong. They were going in the wrong direction, and they came face to face with destruction. Proverbs 14:12. And it's repeated again in Proverbs 16:25 that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And any path but God's path will lead to destruction. And so there are people that you rub shoulders with and that I rub shoulders with, some on a daily basis, some maybe just one time in our lives will come across the path of that person. And many of them are on the path that leads to destruction. In fact, the Bible says that most of them are on that path, because broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many there be that are on that road. But the word of the Lord that we have the privilege of spreading, whether it be through the ministry of the Gideons, whether it be through our own tract distribution, whether it be through the verbal communication of witness that we make for the Lord Jesus Christ, hopefully on a daily basis. Through that, we find that the word of the Lord is powerful enough to convert that person who is living in the wrong direction. It's powerful enough to take hold of an individual who's going down the path to destruction, and is able to convert that person. To convert means to bring back. And when God placed Adam and then Eve from Adam's body in the Garden of Eden, they were going in the right direction. They were living in the right direction. But of course, they made a choice. Each of them made a choice to disobey God, and in doing so, plunge the whole human race into living in the wrong direction. But it's God's desire and intent to convert, to bring back those who were living in the wrong direction, and to bring them back to that place of relationship with Him that Adam and Eve originally enjoyed there in the Garden of Eden. Barnabas and Paul, when they were spreading the word of the Lord in Lystra, they said, "We're men just like you. And we've come here to preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." They were worshiping idols. They were living in the wrong direction. And Paul said, "We're here. We brought to you the word of the Lord that you might be converted, that you might be turned to the Lord Jesus." The believers in Thessalonica had heard the message and they had been converted. And Paul could write a letter to them and say, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." The word of the Lord is powerful enough. No matter how long that person has been living in the wrong direction, no matter how headlong they are living in the wrong direction, though, it's the word of the Lord that is powerful enough to take them and to convert their soul and to turn them toward the Lord Jesus. The prophet Isaiah had shared with the people of Israel in his day that their ears would hear a word behind them saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." The Lord Jesus came and He proclaimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And we have the word of the Lord, which tells us that yes, we're all sinners. Yes, we're all guilty. Yes, we're all separated from our Creator who loves us and desires us to have that relationship with Him. We are all living in the wrong direction, but the Lord Jesus has come and He has given His life as a ransom for us, to pay the penalty for us, to take the punishment for us. And He was raised again from the dead, that we might hear the gospel and be converted, that we might be living in the right direction. And that's God's desire for everybody in your life. Those to whom you have already witnessed and they have rejected that witness, and those who have not yet heard from you. But God would have you to take with them that word which is powerful enough to take that person who is living in the wrong direction and convert them. Bring them back to God. Reconcile them to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in Him. In the second part of verse 7, we read concerning the word of the Lord. It's called here the testimony of the Lord. Can you believe that God Himself wants to witness to us? The testimony of the Lord is sure. And what does it do there? It makes wise the simple. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to grab hold of people who are learning from the wrong instruction. And here we have the intellect through which we compile information and then reason based on the information that we have compiled in order to make a decision. And we find here in the Scripture, which we know is true from our own experience in life, that there are many people who are simple. Simple in the sense that they are unlearned, they are immature, they are foolish. Now, these may be people who are brilliant in one area of life, maybe in many areas of life. Maybe they're much more intelligent than you and I would ever be. But in the area of spiritual truth, they are simple. It's like those students in college and university right now. Some of them are taking their final exams. Some have just completed those exams. And can you imagine the student who is studying for that final exam, spending hours, maybe staying up all night studying for the final exam, not realizing that they have gotten their instruction from the wrong source. They can go into that room, they can sit down with that exam, and they can know the information they have studied flawlessly. But when they look at the test and they find out their source was wrong. Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day, Yom HaShoah. And yet there are people in the world today that deny that that ever took place. And there are many people who have been taught that that never occurred. The Jewish people were never killed in such great numbers in a systematic fashion. They've gotten their information, they've gotten their instruction from the wrong source. And there are many people today who are brilliant in many areas of life. There are many people who do their jobs in an excellent manner. There are many people who are seeking to be good fathers and mothers and be obedient children and good citizens and to work in their communities. But many of those people have been learning from the wrong instruction. They have not gotten their instruction from the word of the Lord, which Paul told Timothy are the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And it's the Word of the Lord that is able to come and to take hold of that individual, that one that you care about, that one that you love, that one that maybe even on Wednesday night you raise your hand when it's asked, do you have any unsaved loved ones? And you raise that hand because your heart is burdened for that individual. And maybe you are tempted to give up on that person. Or maybe it's an individual by whom you are intimidated because they are so intellectual. They seem to know all the answers to the things that go on in politics and in the community and in life. And yet you know that they're not a believer in the Lord Jesus. They've never confessed to Him their own sinnership. They have never acknowledged to God, I am a sinner, and I am separated from you, and I deserve hell, but I believe on your Son, the Lord Jesus. They need instruction from the right source. The writer to the Proverbs, Solomon, said it this way, O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart, and hear in the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, which we have the privilege to share, to spread. Whether it be, as our brother said, an entire copy of the Word of God, or whether it be one verse. that God allows us to share through a tract or through our lips or through writing it down in a letter or typing it out in an email and spreading the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to take someone who's learning from the wrong instruction and to make them wise unto salvation. The word of God is what pierces the heart by the Spirit of God and convinces us that we are sinners and that we are separated from God. That we do not measure up to the righteousness that God expects, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the religious leaders, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Our righteousness must meet the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And it's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and pierces our hearts and tells us there's judgment that's coming. But it's the same instruction from the same Scriptures that show us the Lord Jesus loves us and died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the just has died for the unjust that He might bring us to God. We have the instruction in the Scripture that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The message that the world needs. We see in verse 8, David goes on to write by the Holy Spirit that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And there are people all around us in the world today. And the word of the Lord is able to take hold of those who are longing for the wrong emotion. They're longing for the wrong emotion. I don't know how many of you participated, but people all around the world, some of them getting up at what I would say is an unearthly hour, but they got up this week to watch a wedding. A royal wedding, not just any wedding. When Prince William married Kate Middleton, now the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, and I think that interest in that symbolizes our longing for that feeling that comes from watching the majesty of such an event, hearing the words spoken of love and commitment. And people all around the world, those who care about God and those who don't care about God, were zeroed in on that young couple as they became husband and wife. But you know, so many people in the world today are longing for the wrong emotion. What is the wrong emotion? I would suggest that the wrong emotion to long for is any emotion that is based only on what this world can support. If someone in your life is longing for a feeling that this world only supports, and when this world doesn't hold them up in that feeling, the feeling dissipates and they have to look elsewhere, then that is an emotion not worth longing for. Maybe that will be an emotion that is experienced, but that shouldn't be the emotion that is longed for and that truly is longed for by the human heart. But we have the Word of the Lord, and the Word of the Lord is powerful enough to take those people who are longing for the wrong emotion and to, as the psalmist says here, make them joyful. Rejoice their hearts. Rejoice their hearts. Jeremiah, years ago, said this. We find it in his 15th chapter, the 16th verse of his prophecy. He says to the Lord, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." He said, that's where my true joy comes from. And maybe I'll get a little excited and maybe I'll have some happiness here and a little bit of worldly peace there. And maybe I'll experience some comfort over here in this activity. But ultimately, my longing, O Lord, is for the joy that comes from your word. Your word. In Psalm 119, a lengthy chapter that speaks much of the word of the Lord, the psalmist says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. We read in Proverbs that a merry heart does good, like a medicine. And there are people spiritually sick in our lives today. And it's the word of the Lord that is that medicine that's going to rejoice their hearts. And that is an emotion worth longing for. Oh, that we might realize that true joy is a result of exposure to the word of the Lord and trust in the word of the Lord. Oh, that those in our lives might see us seeking true joy in the word, and might they experience that as the word of the Lord gets hold of them and gives them that true joy. I love what Isaiah said in his prophecy, chapter 61, of how the Lord is the one who gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And it's His desire to bring joy into the hearts of those who are sad, joy into the hearts of those who are longing for a worldly joy that will not last and that will not be supported by what this world offers. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to take hold of those who are longing for the wrong emotion and rejoice their hearts. That's the word of the Lord. That is what we have as an instrument, as a tool. And finally, at the end of verse 8, we read that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And we find that the word of the Lord here is powerful enough to take hold of those who are looking through the wrong prescription. And we know our human eyes, we look around us and we see things that are physical. I have a pair of glasses, and I only use them usually if I'm driving at night in a strange place. Or maybe it's raining at night, and they help me to see more clearly. Now, I could take someone else's prescription glasses that's in this room this morning, and you might say, these really help me, and you give them to me, and I put them on, and everything is blurry, and I'm worse off than I was without them. But there are many people in our lives today who are looking through the wrong prescription lenses. And when they look at things, they see something they think will make them happy. When they look at money, they see something that they think they must have more of to be fulfilled. When they look at themselves, they see a skewed picture of who they really are. When they look at other people, they see ones who can help them to get where they want to be in life. When they look at opportunities, they see opportunities to benefit themselves. They are looking through the wrong prescription. But the word of the Lord is able to take hold of them and enlighten their eyes, illuminate their vision, as He has done for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Proverbs 6 and verse 23 tells us that the commandment of the Lord is a lamp and the law is a light. And we have the word of the Lord. And we have the opportunity to spread the word of the Lord around the globe and right where we live. Satan is busy. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he is blinding the eyes and the minds of those who do not believe, so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, will not shine on them. And we have the word of the Lord. And here it is, through the word of the Lord, that people's eyes, by the Spirit of God, as He takes the word of the Lord and applies it to their hearts, they're able to look and they're able to see. clearly. Oh, that we might spread the word of the Lord, that we might be able to say of everybody in our lives, everybody with whom we have the privilege of having an opportunity even to make a contact, that it might be said of them, as Paul could say of the Galatians, before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Oh, that that might be true, because we are spreading the word of the Lord, that their eyes might be open to turn from darkness to light, as Paul declared in his testimony, that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, as Paul prayed, and we have recorded in Ephesians chapter 1, that they might look through the right prescription, that they will not look at the things that are seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. But the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, that they might be able to look through the right prescription and look at things and look at money and realize these are tools, these are avenues to use for the glory of God. To be able to look at themselves and to see someone who has been changed by the power of God. Someone who has a reason for living that's beyond anything this material world offers. That they might look at other people and see not people to be used, but rather peoples whose lives need to be touched by the Lord through them. That they might look at opportunities not selfishly, but selflessly. That they might be like the Lord Jesus. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to take hold of a person who is living in the wrong direction and convert that person. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to take hold of a person who is learning from the wrong instruction and make that person wise unto salvation. Through faith that is in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to take hold of a person who is longing for the right emotion and make that person truly joyful with the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. The word of the Lord is powerful enough to take hold of a person who is looking through the wrong prescription and illuminate that individual's eyes that they might see the Lord Jesus. And that the glorious gospel of Christ might shine upon them and they might see the Lord Jesus who died for them and rose again, who shed His blood that they might be forgiven of all of their sins, that they might have a relationship with their Creator, that they might have the assurance of never being separated from the Lord. Never spending a second in the lake of fire, but all eternity with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Therefore, since the word of the Lord is that powerful, therefore let us spread the word. Let us take whatever opportunities God provides for us, and let us take it, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, let us take it as a personal responsibility and a personal privilege to spread the word of the Lord. Anyway, be creative. And getting out the word of the Lord is powerful. It's powerful enough to touch the lives of people you know and people you don't know. Of people whose lives you will touch when you leave this building today, and people who live in another part of the world, but you still have an opportunity to touch their lives with the word of the Lord. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. It's our privilege this morning to share with you the word of the Lord, and it's powerful enough to take hold of you and to do these things for you as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it's in your word that we find of our sinful condition before you. It's in your word that we find of our separation from you. It's in your word that we find that your Son is the Savior, the one who gave his life for us. Father, we thank you for placing our sins on his holy soul And Father, giving us the opportunity by faith to receive Him and therefore be declared righteous in Your sight. Father, might we take Your word. Might we spread it around the world. We pray for the work of the Gideons. We thank You for our brother Graves, who's been with us this morning and shared with us many stories of the power of Your word. Father, we pray for him and for other Gideons. And Father, we pray for ourselves, for each other. Lord, those of us who know You, that we have the responsibility to spread Your word. Might we do it for Your glory. And we pray in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you spread His word.